Okay, Rabbosai, so this is our first meeting on the Melacha Shabbos. One of the most problematic areas that we had and we went through in the Gemara that started with the question of how to understand the Braita, where the Braita is very confusing. It contradicts itself and gave three different Hagdoras. At one point, it was saying that, seemed to be saying that Borer is okay and then Borer is not okay. And it's Osir, but it's Potter, and then Borer is Chayev. And remember that we had a lot of different Tirutzim in that Gemara. That was the Gemara back on Ayin Dalet. And it's those Tirutzim that form the primary approach to Borer. And I'll talk about that in a moment. You might want to look in your Gemara. But let's remember that the big issue over here is the fact that the Gemara says that we've got three completely different melachas of Shabbos that seem to be essentially the same thing. Hainu Zore, Hainu Bore, Hainu Borer, Hainu Miraket. So we're going to have to, even though in the end the Gemara says that the reason that we're mechalik between these three things is because of the fact that the Mishkan differentiated them. Obviously, that's not the same as other things where, let's say, Rabbi Yehuda wanted to include the question of doing certain small pu'ulot in terms of the Mesach, which the Gemara says, but that's included in Mesach. Or we had options of splitting things up in different ways, and we didn't. And that means that there's got to be an easily discoverable difference between these things that allows us to actually call them different types of malachas. So because of that, we need to concentrate in order to be able to do Borer. We actually need to be able to look at all of these. We need to look at Zorer, Borer, and Merakit. So I think because of the way that the central ideas are most brought out by the Borer, and there's a simple reason for that. The Zoreh and the Merakeid have a particular type of pu'ula that differentiates them. The Zoreh is differentiated by the fact that it's achieved by some other thing. So in other words, what the Adam is doing is throwing something up into the air, and then the wind comes along and blows away the chaff. The Merakeid is also unique in that it's done through a type of selection that is achieved through putting it through something. And the putting it through something, in the end, allows us to just end up with a differentiated item. Borer, on the other hand, is the main word that refers to by hand. When we say by hand, it doesn't mean you don't have an extension of your hand, a tool of your hand. But what you're looking at now is the most focused question of taking one thing out of another. Now, that's what it appears to be. It's not clear, however, what that would mean. Because remember that we had a lot of issues that were never really explained to us. So first, let's take a look at the Gemara. In the Gemara, we had numerous attempts to explain what would be the different levels of Borer. So we had the Ochel mitoch ha-psolet that you can do, but the you cannot do the psolet mitoch ha-ochel. And that would, you would be chayev chatas. That would be one approach. The other approach was you could be borer to eat right away. But you cannot be borer umeniach. And if you were borer umeniach, it would be the equivalent of being borer for an otsar. And therefore, you would be chayev. And then it would be, there would be another question. Did you use a particular, method? So did you use your fingers? Did you use a kanun? Did you use an actual professional type of thing that was made for that particular thing? So in other words, if you used, let's say, a big plate, well, that would be osur. And if you actually used something that was made particularly only for the purpose of, let's say, a nafa and a kivara, where over there it's made for the purpose of your being able to select things with, and it's not an en masse selection, the way that Merakeid is. It's a specific way in which you want to separate out two things that you have. So then that would be us. Now, Lemaisa, we actually paskin all three of the issues that we have in the Gemara, in addition to the idea of the type of instrument that you're going to be using. So because of that, the instrument is definitely Aser. If it's an instrument that was made specifically for Brira, it's Aser. The other things that we paskin are all three of the issues. A, Borer is Psolet from Ochel. B, Borer is something that is done with some type of tool. And C, Borer is done to be able to have something that will be storable in that fashion. Now, what exactly those, in other words, what that means is, if you've got three things that all come together, namely, you're taking the ochel out of the psolet and not the psolet out of the ochel. Furthermore, you're using your hands to do this and you're not using any type of instrument. And furthermore, you're doing this for immediate use, which has to be defined, what's called immediate use, then it's okay. Now, it's not clear whether then it's okay because then it's not borer, then it's okay because we're allowed to do borer if it's for the purposes of achila, which was one approach that the Gemara took and very solidly pushed that away. So, well, what do you mean? You can't bake because it's tzorach achila. So why in the world would you be able to be borer if it's a tzorach achila? But remember that right then and there, the Rabbeinu Chananel explained that things that were done as part of the act of achila are looked at as eating, and not as an act of a malacha that you're doing about the food. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Chananel, it's in no way clear. I mean, obviously, there was a havimina that Gemara had. That issue actually does, according to Rabbeinu Chananel and those who follow him, that really does affect the nature of borer. So let's think about what possible ways we could understand borer, and then figure out how some of these differences would be nogea. One question that we can raise is whether if you have not psolet, but you have two different types of ochlin, with those two different types of ochlin, I happen to want the tomatoes in a salad. Another guy likes the onions in the salad. I don't like the onions in the salad. Now, that would make a borer where for one person, taking out the onions would be the iser borer. And for the other guy, taking out the tomatoes would be the iser borer. And for the guy who likes the tomatoes, taking out the tomatoes would be not an iser borer. And the guy who likes the onions, taking out the onions would be also just the way in which you eat the salad. Rashi, if you'll recall, rejected the girsa in the Gemara that had hayu lefanav shnei minei ochlin. You remember that. Tosu says, no, that's the whole point. Hoyu lefanav shnei minei ochlin. You have two different types of food that you want to eat. So then choosing one food over the other is considered to be an act of borer, says Tosu. Now, Rashi rejected that, but it is definitely not clear that the reason that Rashi rejected it was because he holds that only literal psolet would be the problem of borer, or because in the sugya of the Gemara at that point, because Rashi indicates elsewhere otherwise, in the sugya of the Gemara at that point, we're going to be specifically discussing psolet, as becomes clear later on. Many assume that there's actually a machlokas between Rashi and between Tosfos about whether there's a din of borer on two different types of Oakland. So let's assume for a moment that there is. Then we have another question. The other question would be, suppose you have neither Oakland or Psolet. What you have basically is two things that you simply want to be separate. Now that's not really called an act of borer. That's called an act of sorting, but not separating. So that would be, let's say a guy wants to play chess. right? So he wants to set up his chessboard with his black pieces and his light pieces, okay? He doesn't care particularly that he wants to have black pieces as opposed to light pieces or white pieces as opposed to black pieces. Obviously, that's not the point. In order for him to play chess, he has to have separate pieces. So is that considered to be, that in Hebrew that would called miyun, minim, having things in separate minim? Would that be considered an act of borer, or is that bechlal not borer? So the truth is that forces us into a deeper question about what is the nature of borer bechlal. Now, one way of looking at borer is that borer is about making food better. And the reason that that's advantageous to think about it in that way, that it's part of the preparation of food, is because if it isn't that way, so then how do we understand doing a malacha on something that you don't want? Isn't that the entire meaning of the idea of a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa? If I'm working with something that I'm not interested in, and I'm taking out the psolet, so how could that be the iser of borer when I'm not doing anything that I want? I'm taking the things I don't want. I mean, we have plenty of examples where that's considered to be in the Gemara, malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. And if that's the only way you could do brera is by taking out the thing you don't want, so then you should never be chayav on borer. This is weird. Now, that would lead you to think that actually the real meaning of the borer is this is the way that I make my food nice. It's the way that I prepare my food. So making the food edible is taking out all of the dirt from the food or taking out the onions from the salad, which may also being miyapa, the food. Possibly. Now, there is a very interesting Baal HaMor where the Baal HaMor says, and again, he's taken to mean that he has a different understanding of borer. The Baal HaMor says that indeed it normally would have been considered to be a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, except that the Torah was mechadesh that you're chayev on borer. Now, many achronim take that to mean that the Baal HaMor holds that we should not define the nature of borer as being meyape, the food. Those who say very simply that that is not the point, the point is that we're talking about tikkun of ochel. If tikkun of ochel is done through getting rid of something else, who cares? This is the way that I fix my food. So why would that be considered to be a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa? So then there might be a tremendous difference between the question that comes up all the time, which is nogea very much halacha l'maisa. Is there an iser of borer if you're taking out, imagine a situation, a fly falls into the soup or something. So now, if you take out the fly with a little bit of soup, so then you haven't separated out the fly and the soup, right? So then you didn't do borer. But if the idea is to be mitaken the food, you most certainly did do borer. Because by taking this out, who cares if I took out some food with it? By taking this out, I was left with a very beautiful, better soup. So why in the world wouldn't that be considered to be an act of borer? So there you could see very much, if we focus on the question of the separating outedness of borer, and that means to be able to separate things from each other, so then if I haven't really separated them out from each other, I haven't done borer at all. But if the result is a result that affects the food that I'm being mitaken, then the bottom line is I am being mitaken. Now, all of these issues are major machlokes about how to view the dinim. And there's another possibility. The other possibility is the Rambam. The Rambam seems to have a unique approach. Because the Rambam holds that the very fact, or at least this is how many understand the Rambam, the very fact that you have something that is made separate, that is the nature of borer. Not that you're separating two things, but that two things will be made on their own and separate. That is considered to be ipso facto the nature of borer, because you want to have things in a particular set. And that would be a whole different way of looking at it. So this would be a big machlokas. And this is the famous question that goes back to the issue of, can you actually be mimayin? Can you sort things out on Shabbos? So what happens is over here that there's the famous Prima Gunim. The Prima Gunim says that if you don't have a concept of ochel and you don't have a concept of psolet, then how could you possibly be over on borer? Isn't borer, by definition, choosing one thing over another? And therefore, what would be the problem of, let's say, I want to put all of my forks, spoons, knives, I want to put them into piles. What's the problem with that? You don't want the forks and not the knives. So that's not an act of borer b'chlal. You're not choosing anything. You're just sorting things. Same thing would be if you want to put your chess set, all of the dark pieces and all of the light pieces. This is the Prima Gadim Psak. And the Mishnah Brura in the Bira Halacha holds that the very fact that you are separating things out, which goes back to the whole point of the Rambam, and he's very much medayik from the Rambam that this is the concept of borer, is that you have things that are in sets. And it's the set itself that is what the Torah is makbid on. Now, of course, that raises questions about the other issues where we have things that were matir when it comes to the borer, which according to the Rambam, if it's just the set and you really hold that, why doesn't that aser some of the other things that we were being matir? What would be the difference, let's say, of ochel mitoch ha-psolet, since it doesn't make any difference in terms of the set? So that would mean that we would have a number of different possibilities. One possibility is the Torah didn't aser something that is bederech of achila. So we mentioned that before as the shita that the Rabbi Yochanan holds of. One way of looking at that problem is to ask yourself whether you're allowed to peel a fruit. Can I peel a fruit on Shabbos if it's the type of peel that I wouldn't want to eat? It's not something people don't usually eat, let's say an orange peel. So you could say about an apple peel, well, they're both considered to be apple. This is this part of the apple, and that's that part of the apple, which leads, of course, to another question, which we'll have to talk about in a moment. Suppose you want different types of the same thing, right? You would want only small pieces of schnitzel and not big pieces of schnitzel. It's all schnitzel. So would that also, because of the fact that you are sorting something in terms of your mind of what you want or what you don't want, is that by itself considered to be, by definition, borer or not? Even that would be a problem. We'll think about that in a moment. But there are many, many approaches, all of which are nogeah halacha lemaisa, to the issue of why it is that you would be allowed to peel, because if you're peeling, The problem is that you're taking off the psolet, and you're only supposed to be taking off the ochel, even if you're going to be matir borer, right? So why are you allowed to take a peel of something that you don't want to eat? And the truth is, nobody asers peeling an orange on Shabbos. So what is the reason? Everybody gives a reason, but the reasons are very different. So the Mishnah Berurah's reason is because it's derech achila. And in this case, everybody is motivated that derech achila is mutter because otherwise there's no way to eat an orange. So that's how you get to the food. You get to the food by taking off the covering of the food. I mean, it doesn't mean literally there's no other way. Obviously, you could slice the orange and eat it with the peel. But if you're trying to get to something which is covered, so taking it off is the way to eat it. Okay.
You could do it Erev Shabbos.
Yeah. You're not mechuyev to do it Erev Shabbos. That's benogei yontev. That's not a question of borer. The other question would be, is something that is attached as a peel and it's on top, is that considered to be borer or not? So some of the Rishonim say, by definition, if it's the food's own covering, then that's not borer. Okay. Another approach is, it isn't mixed. Something that you're going to be borer has to be mixed. And if it isn't mixed, what would make it be borer? Now, this question itself is a major issue because, and this is the Or Sameach's big, he makes a big deal about this because there's an additional question as to whether other things besides food are borerable, right? So, okay. So let's say, I mean, we can certainly see from Rashi that he says they're borerable. Where is that? Because he talks about all of the malachas that you're going to be doing if you're going to be making yourself, he has two cases, make yourself a tanur, remember, making yourself the container of cheres. So, and he says, beferish, you're first going to be borer the pieces that you're able to use for, if you're making the baskets, the nice pieces you're going to be able to use for the basket, he calls that to being borer. Right? Or he talks about taking out the big chunks of stones that are in the clay in order to make the cheres. He says that would be borer. So obviously you're not going to eat any of those things. So it seems clear that Rashi holds that borer is also on things that have nothing to do with, things that come necessarily gidule karka. Even though we said, maybe Disha might only be Gedule Karka. Maybe Zora might only be Gedule Karka. It seems pretty clear that we would say Borer on things that aren't Gedule Karka. So what about choosing a tie? Is choosing a tie Borer? So that if you would try to choose your tie, not for what you're going to wear tonight, but what you're going to wear tomorrow morning, which would not be Miyad, so then choosing the tie would be Borer. Or would perhaps taking out a sefer that you want to use tomorrow and not today, would taking the sefer out of the bookcase, would that be considered to be borer? Or if you've got different types of forks, spoons, and so on inside of your drawer, would you be able to be borer those things for tomorrow morning? Or would that be considered to be in itself not gedulei karka? So we paskin halacha lemaisa. When I say we paskin, I mean the Mishnah Berurah paskins halacha. But it's the most recent poskim paskin halacha lemaisa that there is berer even on non gedulei karka. But says the Or Sameach, now hold on a minute. Let's not make a mistake. Just because there may be borer on non-gidule karka, that doesn't mean there's borer on different books in your bookcase, nor does it mean that there's borer, as so many of the poskim were saying, that once there's brira, even on non-gidule karka, you would not be able to be borer a soup plate that's in a box with a flat plate or a small plate that would be in the box with a big plate and so on and so forth. Says the Or Sameach, there's one basic yesod that first has to be there before we can even discuss being borer. Borer means to check things that are mixed. Things that aren't mixed can't be borrowed because they're already very clear. If you have books in a bookcase and every book is marked with its name, in what possible way are you doing an act of selection? Now, let's think about that. What does selection mean? Now, remember, Kabbalistically, there is a concept of borer that is very fundamental to my Bereishis. And that is that the function of Adam is in terms of Birurim. That is to say that the entire world presents to you all types of things which are a taruvus of Tov V'ra. What it is that you are constantly doing is you're constantly making choices that are Mevarer, which creates greater and greater Tahira in the world. You are being Mevarer the things that you want to have in the Olam, and you want to survive in the Olam, and you are separating out the things that are not usable. And this is very deeply part of the entire human condition, is his ability to choose. So again, the question of whether we're going to look what the level of mixing, whether that level of being mixed necessarily means that I can't look at it right away and see the difference, Like the Or Sameach is tiny. And by the way, we don't really, although when I say we don't paskin like that, most achronim don't paskin like the Or Sameach. And they do say you should be makpid even on the brera of those type of things. So again, you can see, what do we mean by selection? Would also be a question. So therefore, when the Aruch HaShulchan's approach, which is, well, how can taking off a apple peel or an orange peel be considered to be borer when it isn't mixed with the orange? The whole point of it is that it isn't mixed. If there's no mixture, then for sure you can't be borer it out of the mixture. And since over here it has its specific place, then why would that be borer? Okay. The other approach, the approach that the Mishnah Berurah takes as well, is that if things are ultimately edible and some people would eat them, then they're still considered to be part of the same fruit. Now, there obviously depends what type of shell we're talking about. The other approach is you never really do, because what you always do is you take a little bit of orange that comes off together with the pre, or at least many types of things that you take off a outer coating, it's always going to come off with a little bit of the inner. So if it's true to say that any time that you take off some of the thing, like the soup with the fly, so then you haven't really separated out. So then as long as this thing is not done so carefully that nothing is going to be dragged along from the etzem fruit, so bichlal, it's not considered to be a brera. Okay, so that's five completely different approaches. And so as you can see, it's by no way such an obvious thing. So if you're talking about something that is really not edible at all, if it's something that's edible, you're allowed to actually do it even with a kli, in terms of the halacha l'maaseh. In other words, you can use even a peeler on it. If it's things that are not going to be utilized for eating, and most people would not eat it, so then you should only use your hand. When we say hand, by the way, we mean hand and any kli that is an extension of your hand, like a knife. I mean, a knife isn't made specifically for peeling. It's just an easier way to handle something rather than having to pulling it with your fingernails. So that's the same thing as using your hand. And that you could do. But again, since there are those shitas who hold that would be considered to be a way in which you're being borer, so you should be careful that it's something for the Suda that is in front of you right now. So if you're talking about peeling eggs or you're talking about peeling oranges, then that indeed is kedai to do only somuch l'su'udasai, which would be the idea of miyad. Obviously, other things that are eaten, if you're talking about today, everybody eats, let's say, cucumber peels, if you don't peel them, or apple, so that's fine. What would be the way in which you can easily get away with things that would otherwise present you with a problem? We spoke about in the Gemara. And, in fact, we had a maisa in the Gemara, which we weren't sure whether the whole point of that maisa was to make sure that you would not be nichshal in beirer. You take the entire thing that of the contents of all of the different fruits and pour it out on the table in one big splash. And then what that allows is for you to take whatever you want out because it's not mixed. So there, for sure, it appears that everybody agreed, at least in the Gemara, because nobody said, well, it must be that he did it only to make the big impact, which was the suffix, because Rabbi Amir Rabasi had come to town and so on, that since nobody suggested it has to be for that, it's mashma. And I mentioned to you that Reb Shlomo Zalman Paskin on that basis, that things that are actually scattered out on the table, any things that would be scattered and are not really touching each other and they're not connected in any way, that would not require any kind of dealing with the question of borer. Another question that relates to peels is layers. Are layers mixed? What would be a case of a layer? Well, what's brought up very often in the poskim is the question of, let's say you have a pile of magazines. You want a particular magazine. So the question is, if the din of borer is in fact based on making what it is better by removing the psolet, well, then it's ridiculous. You're not making one magazine better by removing another magazine from a pile, right? Or if you got a pile of clothing, you're not gonna make any impact at all on any of your other clothing by removing something in the pile. Okay, so that's one shita that actually the Mishnah Berurah points out, that itself, to take into consideration that those Rishonim will hold that the whole meaning of borer is to be miyapeh, or to be mitaken, the thing that you're taking the other things out of, that would mean that it would not be applicable here at all. Now, we also had lots of other reasons to view that as not being borer. One of them is the definition of what is mixed. Are layers mixed? So if you've got, let's say, a pile of laundry, okay, so the laundry's got shirts, and then it's got pants, and then it's got socks, and so on and so forth. Now, in order to get to the socks, there's two things you can do. I mean, you could just stick your hand in, move things out of the way, and find the socks and pull out the socks, and then say, well, I'm pulling out the socks because I need the socks now. So anyway, even if it was borer, it would be being borer ochel mitoch ha-psolet. And since I want to put the socks on right now, that should be mutter. That's true. But how about if you want to put aside the socks for tomorrow morning? Would that be considered to be an iser of being borer, where even borer ochel mitoch ha-psolet is iser if it isn't miyad? Which, by the way, is itself not so clear. What is miyad? So miyad, according to some Rishonim, means the next usage coming up. Okay, if it's the next usage coming up, then after you've got the clothes that you're put on now, then if you would be borer the socks, and it would be usher to be borer the socks, it would still be miyad because the next use coming up would be tomorrow morning. Same thing would be true about a su'uda. Even if the su'uda was for tomorrow morning, if you already had the su'uda tonight, then it's the next su'uda coming up. And that, too, is a shita among the Rishonim that is considered to be the definition of miyad. This question of what it is that we're referring to when we're borer would be nogea also what differences are we talking about? Suppose some things have a slightly different taste. So you have two different types of cookies. You have chocolate cookies and you have vanilla cookies. They're both considered to be cookies. Are they considered to be two completely separate? Meaning, if you hold that the two types of ma'achalim are considered to be a borer problem. But, I mean, if they're the same things, is it a borer problem? I don't know. How about if they would be things, as we just mentioned before, things that are all dishes, but some things are fish plates and some things are soup plates and some things are meat plates. Are those considered to be different things? How about different quality? You've got fruits. Some of them are like really good shape and some of them have a lot of bruises on them. Would the bruised fruit be considered to be psolet, even though you're going to eat them, but right now maybe you want to give something nicer to the people that happen to be in the house, so you want to take out the parts that look a little bruised? All of these are questions that are nogea lahalacha, and all of them, indeed, were sort of machmeran, of course, so that, you know, if you want your different, sizes of schnitzel and so on, the question of whether that's all considered to be one kind of thing, again, because of, let me tell you one big problem, okay, with borer. Why it is that we're so machmer? The reason that we're so machmer is because it's the most dangerous of any of the malachas. That's really the problem. Because the difference between a borer that is done as a matter of course and is completely mutter, and the same exact thing, which is not only usser, but which is a chiyuv chatas, is sometimes very, very tiny. So because of that, since you're dealing with the possible chiyuv of a chatas, because of that, we do, in fact, an awful lot of chumras over here. But on the other hand, there are hagdoras that are pretty clear. So let's take, for example, you open up a cantaloupe. Okay, in the middle of the cantaloupe, you've got all of these seeds. Now, if you pour those seeds out of the cantaloupe, then they simply come right out, which means that they were never mixed. Then there are seeds that are left sort of on the bottom after the big hunk of seeds pours out. Those seeds are also very easily taken out together with the seeds that are poured out, as opposed to needing to lift them off of the cantaloupe. And when you're talking about watermelon seeds and so on, that's different, because there each seed is surrounded by a little bit of watermelon. So, I mean, the halacha lemaisa, again, I say halacha lemaisa, I'm referring to the Shmirah Shabbos Gilchasa, Reb Shloim Zalman's psak that he brings, that when it comes, let's say, to that cantaloupe, there's no problem of borer there at all, because that is not considered to be mixed. Let's take a case where you have large pieces that are lying in water. It's not considered to be mixed at all. So let's say you've got a big dish of fish that's lying in the fish brine or the fish juice or whatever it was cooked in. That's not considered to be mixed. And because of that, you could certainly take pieces of fish out of that. And the truth would be that, I mean, let's say you open up a can of sardines. And when you open up the can of sardines over there, even though you're pouring out the liquid, Jeff, I think you're even though you're pouring out the liquid, it's not a problem, because it isn't mixed. And the same thing would be true, by the way, of a can of tuna fish. But there's a difference. In the can of sardines, what you have is all of the liquid doesn't really get mixed into the sardines. But in the tuna fish, you do have, once you pour off the top layer of oil or water, because of the fact that the tuna fish is more like tiny little pieces, because of that, you'd have to stop pouring out the oil or water once you hit the area where it's now mixed with the actual fish. The same thing would be, let's say, in a container of shamenet, a container of leaven. So over there, you always have a little bit of liquid on top. You go pour out that liquid, but then there's a little bit of liquid that's thicker, and that is, in fact, very close to the cream itself, to the sour cream and so on. Now, that part would be considered to be mu'urav. So because of that, it would all be dependent on the very specific case. Let's say you've got little tiny pieces that are mixed in with a liquid. So over there, you've got, maybe a can of corn, little pieces of corn that are mixed in the liquid. You might have the same problem over there of trying to separate out the liquid from the little pieces. Or if you've got another sense of tarovis, the other sense of tarovis are things that are touching each other. Okay, so that touching each other, that would be the difference of the liquid on top of the shamenet or the liquid that's all the way on top of the shamenet container. And there's a slight difference over there. So you have to leave behind a little bit of it. Okay, how about books? So over here would be the same question. Again, according to the Or Sameach, it's absurd to talk about something that should be a tarovas if it's immediately nicker what it is. So if you've got books that are in your bookshelf, and each one of them has its name on the back, and now you want to take something out, that should not be a problem at all, according to anyone. That would be very similar to the idea of the cantaloupe. And then we had the other question that we mentioned before, layers. And there's many, many different shitas of the layers. Everybody is meida. There's certainly no problem of going through the layer from the top down. So in other words, okay, pants, I don't want pants. Shirts, I don't want shirts. Socks, here we go. Now I have my socks. That's definitely not considered to be borer. And the truth is that taking anything that you're taking at random is not considered to be borer. So let's say I'm washing dishes. I'm taking the dishes one by one out of the sink and drying them and putting them into the drawer in the correct place. Forks, knives, spoons. There's no question of borer over there because I'm not choosing anything. I bedavka took everything out at random. It's not like I poked through the whole sink in order to find the particular things that I wanted. So that's also not considered to be a problem of borer. Now, the question about whether you can take out a little bit with the, like we said before, like the case of this comes up very, very often. Like you've got something that you want to get rid of from a pot, so you go ahead and you take a little bit of the liquid in the pot together with it and so on. It comes up a tremendous amount of times. And there's the big heter of the taz. The heter of the taz is that unless you're actually selecting, if you're left with a mixture, you haven't selected. And therefore, you would be allowed to take out some of the soup and the fly as well. And because of that, the Mishnah Berurah says that's true about anything. And there's any time that you don't have an actual pure selection and you took out something, but some of the other stuff came out with it, that would be fine. However, unfortunately, the Chazanish doesn't like that. And those who are Paskin like the Chazanish do not go like the Taz, even though the Mishnah Berurah does. And since the point is, again, tikkun, and by taking out that fly, you are being mitaken, so then there would be no heter to do it. However, the point is that even according to the Chazon Ish, there is a way to do it. And that is that you can get it out because the part that you're taking out with it, if you take out not just the part that's together with the body of the fly, but you have to recognize that since Ta'aroves is the essence of what it is that you're going to be changing, you didn't have a Ta'aroves. Think to yourself, you've got a whole bowl of soup, okay? What part is mixed with the fly? The whole bowl of soup is mixed with the fly? If there's a fly in a big pot, the whole pot is mixed with fly? So the idea over here would be that even according to the Chazon Ish, once it's clear that what I took out was the whole mixture, so then, I may be mitaken the rest of the bowl, but it was never mixed in the first place. And we're all agreed that the nature of borer requires that something be unclear in terms of its separation. Okay, so lemaisa, again, most people are sumach on the Mishnah Brura. And as long as you take out a little bit of, this is a big help, that as long as you're taking out a little bit of the thing that's connected to it, then it's not considered to be borer. And this happens all the time where things are mixed in liquids or things are mixed in small solids, that there's this easy way to get out of borer is really a tremendous help. And that is to be somech on the Taz. Let's see now. I just would like to give some, Jeff said that he was going to be sending out the Chayodam's list of malachas. I forgot what you said it was called. I just know it as the Chayodam. I didn't see it, so it could be he didn't get around to doing it. There are many, many Sfarim that are very useful for all of this stuff. And the one that I would suggest is a Sefer that just came out. It was given to me by Daniel, actually, as a gift here. And I thank him again. And I was just looking through it today. And I know this is Rabbi Ramon, and I know his other Sfarim, and I love all of his Sfarim. And it turns out that he does a beautiful, beautiful job on, so far, what I've looked at, on Shabbos as well, in terms of bringing the various shitas, in terms of relating it, halacha lemaisa, to the real issues, and in terms of actually quoting the Mekoros, although he does that only like in a separate section, but in terms of actually quoting the Mekoros, it's also considered to me, I think it's an absolutely beautiful job. Very, very, it's just very long. So it's a little hard to get through all of it, but it would be really could die for you if you get it. It's a two-volume set. He doesn't get through all of the malachas. I'm assuming that he's probably going to have another couple of volumes. But it's a beautiful job, and you know he makes it very cute because he puts in pictures and things like that. He's got a picture over here of a chess set, or he's got a picture of a tuna fish can, and so on, and so on. So okay, that's. That would be very, very nice. He also brings a lot of the Svardim, the Piskei Halachos of the Svardim. Because of that, it's very nice because then you can know if you could be Samech on Rav Avadya Yosef on some of the Shailas and so on, even when it runs against many of the other poskim. Because he puts together shitas of the Rishonim, it's also very nice. So, for instance, one of the things that caught my attention over here is that the Mishnah Brura, when he talks about this question of the knives and the forks and so on and so forth, so he gives two reasons for why it would be okay. So he says, first of all, something that is very obvious, and you could see the difference immediately, like the svara of the Rav Midvinsk of the Osameach, So anything that is very, very clearly seen is not considered to be borer. It has to be something that's small and that has a lot of pieces with it and so on and so forth. The other teretz that he gives is that the idea, the difference between them would be that anything that I'm going to be using now is the equivalent of doing it for this meal. And because of that, there would be no problem of borer. But according to that, if you want to use it for another meal, then you wouldn't be allowed to. So it would depend on what, obviously, there's tremendous nafkamina. Because according to the second pshat, you can only do it if you're going to be using it immediately and to take out things you want. According to the first pshat, it would actually be mutter to do no matter what. So the Ashkenazim post paskin, basically based on the Aruch HaShulchan, like the second pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Berurah. Mashenkin Rav Avadya Yosef, and along with Rav Avadya Yosef, also some other modern poskim, like the Tzitz Eliezer, poskim like the first pshat, and that it's bichlal not considered to be a ta'aruvas. And this is how he paskins halacha l'maisa, and he mentions all those who disagree, and he says, look, I don't think that you have to be makbid on that, and he says there's another point to take into consideration. Again, this is like his style. The other point to take into consideration is that according to the Rabbeinu Yerucham, the next usage is considered to be a immediate miyad, even if it's like 15 hours away. So because of that, since in all of these cases, you are going to be using the other stuff as well, so you can add that svara to be semich on that together with the first svar of the Mishnah Berurah. And so I'm just giving you an example of like the type of thinking that goes into the actual psak of these inyanim. And it's very, very beautiful to watch. One other issue, I don't have much time, but one other issue that comes up is the question of if there are two things which I asked you before, and we didn't come to a determination, if there are two things that are basically the same, but you want, let's say, the big piece is a schnitzel, and you want to take out all of the big pieces, right? Or you want to take out all of the small pieces. So we paskin that is not considered to be two different minim, looking for where he has a nice picture of schnitzel, but again, there's like hundreds of pages here. So what would be the halacha in those types of cases? So interestingly enough, there would really be a completely different approach, according to which it's even more of a problem, not less of a problem, when it's something that appears to be very much the same. And that logic is that the nature of borer is, according to this approach, when we talk about ochlin that have psolet in it, it's not the way that everybody learns that it's a question of whether it has to be mamish psolet or whether it can be even shnei minei ochlin. According to this approach, on the contrary, the closer two things are associated, the greater is the problem of borer. Because the idea of borer would be the subtlety of what it is you're trying to separate out from the other thing. So in the same way that we're saying that anything that is nicker, very clearly, the difference between two different things, and that would mean that it would be a kal v'chomer. The less nicker it is, and the more it is something that is your particular desire to have in that way, it actually becomes a greater problem of borer, not a lesser problem of borer. So this is like a fantastic possibility, which we don't paskin halacha l'maaseh, but which you can see is really a fascinating alternative. Anyway, so we end up with three very different major approaches to the whole idea of borer, and that would be, is it in terms of the separating out? Is it in terms of the tikkun of the eichlin, and is it in terms of the creation of sets per se, which has nothing to do with whether they are better off in terms of your usage, but simply because that's the definition of the creation of sets would be better. Before we end, I want to also mention one very fascinating thing about Zora, which nowhere near as complicated, the questions of Zora and Merakid, and very often something that wouldn't be included in Merakid would be included under Borer. But there's one wild thing that the Yerushalmi says about Zora, and that is, it's really a crazy halacha, but it's paskind to be careful about it, since even though the Bavli obviously doesn't hold of it, but it appears to be that the Yerushalmi absolutely holds a different definition or broader definition of Zora. The Yerushalmi understands Zora to mean scattering, which would mean that if you spit into the wind, says the Yerushalmi, so then when you're spreading all that coronavirus, scattering the virus is considered to be Zora, okay? And that itself, now that raises a lot of questions, because then the question would be, well, what about a spray can? So, I mean, is that considered, is it the scattering per se? Is it the scattering using the ruach? Or is your own creation of the ruach in the spray can, would that be considered to be scattering utilizing the ruach? Or, and you can see that there are those who are actually makpid based on the Yerushalmi not to use spray cans because of that. Although the general haskama of the poskim is that creating that situation in the first place by creating the can mixed with what it is you want to disperse is ipso facto not Zora, and therefore couldn't be considered to be the same as allowing the ruach to scatter things for you. Anyway, this is a very brief overview of just three of the malachas. I don't know if this is the kind of thing you like to do. You want to do more of, and we should do it with other malachas, or you want to go more deeply and more yesodiastic into each one of the malachas. I mean, my own sense is, I mean, it's the reason I chose to do it this way today, is that the issue over here is to have fun, without necessarily getting all of the various dinim and all of the various shilas together. And I think this is sort of a fun type of general overview, enough to give you a sense of the kind of things that the Peskim are thinking about, and to give you a profound appreciation for the complexities of what issues need to be taken into consideration. I mean, it's absolutely amazing that no matter what you look at, it always will have to get back in terms of Hora to a fundamental understanding. What do we mean when we talk about these things? You know, it's all very nice to throw around the words and, you know, that's Bar, but maybe Bar has nothing to do with what you think it has to do. And just to see the way those fundamental definitions end up with having such incredible multiplicity of effects on such subtle levels is really shocking. And so because of that, I thought maybe that's the best way to go through these things. Shabbos is like a great way to look at the nature of sets and the way in which we define each one of the malachas. And also, obviously, it lends itself, even if you can't paskin, but to become aware of what needs to be taken into consideration so that you don't fall into the Yisurei Shabbos. And that's what we've been trying to do throughout the Masechet, I think, is to get an idea of the complexities and the concepts that Shabbos is meant to be giving us on both on a halakha l'maisa level, but also on the fundamental level of how a human being relates to everything because of Shabbos, relates to the Sheshes Yimei HaMaaseh because of Shabbos. And because of that, looking at each one of these malachas, it's a much deeper way of recognizing what goes into human behavior. And seeing Borer particularly, which is so amazingly central to the human condition. I've mentioned to you many times that Kabbalistically, the the biggest tikkun of the Olam after the creation of Adam was Adam's urinating, because that was borer. It was the utilization of a human being's kidneys to be able to separate out ochel from psolet and to be able to get rid of that psolet. But because of the way that Adam was so aware of everything that he was doing and every aspect of his bodily functions being part of that, that became the beginning of the Maisa Adam in the world. You can get a sense of how deeply the feelings that you have about reality and your experiences of things that seem to be meaningless, just plain biological animal functions, are all part of the unbelievable basic way that, even though we take it for granted, has so much to do with what we are as human beings and what it is that we're doing all the time without even thinking about it. I don't think there's another malacha like borer to make you think about that. Because, I mean, we go around, I see people being borer all the time. They don't even think about it. I mean, that's not doing anything wrong, is it? I'm just doing what I do all the time. To need to be aware of the difference, like, is this something that I need to do now? Am I doing it with an instrument? Am I doing it in a way that is natural? Oh my gosh. It just is a study in heightened awareness, Boris. So if you get a chance to get hold of this Sefer, that's such a beautiful gift. So again, I'm very grateful. Here's this, he does a lovely job from what I see so far. I can't, you know, I only read through about 100 pages or so, but it's a big book. And, or, you know, one of there are many for him. I think this is the cutest because it's got all these nice diagrams and pictures. It's fun. So I would just recommend it. Then, fine. It's just called Shabbos. It's just nice. It's just called Shabbat. And, by Rimon, Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon.
He put this strength, this categorization.
It's beautiful, which is perfect for Shabbos.
Behind it, and how is it structured, and the shittas.
Right. And just the presentation. The presentation is beautiful. It's simple. It's diagrammed very well. It basically speaks so much to the development of the human condition, that we're finally getting to the point where things are being put out in this fashion. It's a bit tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Also, in terms of the development of how it is that the simplest people are really beginning to understand that things need categorization and they need fundamental definitions. And this is very much part of the scientific revolution and a different way of looking at things and being aware of the way that a lot of details are sometimes dependent on things that are so many steps before the details. These are growing awarenesses of humanity as a whole. And seeing things presented in that fashion is a Kiddush Hashem, in which one sees the development of the way that the Dover Kotan, the Halacha, the Havayas Abaya de Rova, and the way in which every person, as the Rambam says, every person can understand this. Kotan, v'godol, ish, v'isha. These are things that are human ways of learning to see the world. And because of that, that's the beautiful words of the Rambam. They may not seem very important, but they are the tova hagdola. They're the incredible good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. They are the basis of yeshuva olam hazeh, which is wow. Because that's really true. The more that you understand the ideas of, in the way that things force you to look at the world in these types of categorizations and understanding how you relate to them, they create a yeshuva v'olam hazeh, and they are the teva gedela that is meyashev, the person's heart, makes him feel attached to the world and gives him the type of solidity in which he doesn't fall into the horrific, horrific modern situation in which anything that anybody says goes. And here it's the exact opposite. Each thing has to be well thought out, well defined. There's no such thing as being post-truth. There's no such thing as being post-thinking. Everything is Baruch Hashem based on the Yishuv of Elam Hazeh. Okay, so if you guys are happy with this approach to Bezrat Hashem, we'll try to do more of them until we can finally be zeicha to get through all of the malachas, maybe. Okay, Bezrat Hashem. See you all. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much.